Let us begin these Good Friday services by quieting down our minds and thoughts in opening thanksgiving and prayer. Almighty God, eternal Heavenly Father, as we come before Thy holy face this evening, our thoughts are turned to Thy dear Son this day, who suffered and died because of the sins that have been done and will be done until You call everyone home. Our carnal mind cannot understand everything that Thy Son had to go through to give us hope, us pardoned sinners, hope of eternal life where we can see Him face to face. But yet this evening we wish to bring unto You, dear Father, our humble thanks and praise that You have remembered us. Dear Father, we come from different situations in life as we are here this evening. We have many different trials, temptations, and difficulties in our lives. You know what we are up against. We also wish to thank Thee that You have remembered us in our trials, difficulties unto this day. And we pray unto You that You would continue to remember us. Keep us in this safe and loving kingdom that is Thine. Dear Father, we yet wish to remember those that are not able to be here with us this evening, whether they are listening at home or wherever they may be. Those that are serving this great nation, remember them. There are certainly many temptations, and the devil is not idle with them either. Comfort them and uplift them and remind them and all of us that the most precious gift that we can own is handed from Your hand unto us, into our midst, us pardoned sinners, Your kingdom. As we pause before Thy word, dear Father, we humbly ask of You that You would bless this gathering, and that You would open Thy word as much as we need for our undying portions, and that we may thereby get strengthened in our life of faith. Bless us all and remember us all. In the name of thy dear Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So today is Good Friday, and in the Finnish and Swedish language, Good Friday is called Long Friday, and it certainly was long. When we think of all the events that took place this day about 2,000 years ago, but it certainly was good. It is a Good Friday. When we take away what our Heavenly Father wanted to accomplish through His Son, we would not be in God's kingdom today if the Lord of life would not have gone through what He did go through this day. I thought I would read a text that is set aside for this day in the 19th chapter of John, beginning from the 17th verse. And we read these words in Jesus' name as follows. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to the Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier apart, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it in his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Amen. I have to join in the greetings that our brother Kurt brought to you yesterday from the speaker's camp there at Stoney, and also thank the congregation and the board that you have seen it and encouraged us that are servants of the Word to go there, even though that Sunday we do not have speakers here. But it is a very, very important camp for us. And I'm sure that you other speaker brothers would agree that it seems that no one has greater doubts than us when we have to come up here to serve. It is such a good camp to hear experiences from the older speaker brothers and those that are recently asked to serve, to hear their accounts of how it happened, how they received the news, and how something that is seemingly impossible, God has made it possible. And we need to be reminded of that time and time again, that to God everything is possible. A couple weeks ago, or maybe a week ago, Palm Sunday, we heard through our brother Marcus Lohi how Jesus rode in to Jerusalem knowing everything that he has to go through and face, knowing the things that he had to suffer, but willingly he rode in to Jerusalem. And yesterday we heard through our brother briefly how Judas Iscariot was deceived by the enemy of souls, and I believe it was 30 pieces of silver. He took that as payment to betray the Lord of life. He was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we sang a song prior to this service about that hour in Gethsemane when he was praying and sweating blood. So Judas had betrayed Jesus, and the Roman or the soldiers came there to arrest Jesus. They came and he submitted unto them. They took him as a prisoner and brought him before the high priest to be sentenced, and also later to Pontius Pilate. when Jesus rode in to Jerusalem, he came in a very, very lowly way. And the people were shouting praises to him that our King is coming. And they praised Jesus as he made his way toward the city of Jerusalem. That was this last Sunday. Not a week has passed, and now many of those, most of them, that hailed him as he rode into Jerusalem, they wanted him crucified and dead. So why did they want to crucify Jesus? Why did they want to sentence him? What had he done? In the Gospel of Matthew, it records that when they came, they laid their hands on Jesus and led him away to the high priest. And while they were questioning him, Jesus said, they accused him of blasphemy because he had told them that he was the Son of God. And to them, to the high priests, he was not. So the high priest, he tore up, he ripped his own clothes. He got so upset when Jesus had told him that. And he said that, behold, now we have heard blasphemy, and said that he is now guilty of death. And then they spit in his face, and it says that they buffeted him, or in other words, they beat him, or they struck him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands. Meanwhile, his disciples had disappeared. They were afraid that they would be also treated the same way as Jesus had been treated. And they were afraid of what was to come, what would happen to them. Peter, meanwhile, he was on the outside of that building, denying that he had anything to do with Jesus, or that he knew who Jesus was. And the following morning, Jesus was brought to Pontius Pilate for further questioning. And Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, that, art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And there is a notation here on these words, thou sayest. And it says that it is as you say. Or in other words, yes, I am. And this was the only accusation that they had against our Lord of life, that he was the King of the Jews. He was the Son of God. And then others wanted to crucify Him and put Him to death for this reason. And Pontius Pilate said that what evil has He done? That He has done nothing wrong. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, before all these people that were gathered there, and said, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and our children." And then the soldiers of Pontius Pilate, they took a hold of Jesus and brought Him into the common hall and gathered unto Him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped Him and put on Him a scarlet robe. And when they had put on a crown of thorns on His head and a reed on His right hand, they bowed the knee before Him and mocked Him. And they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon Him, took the reed, and smote Him on the head. And after that they had mocked Him, they took the robe off from Him and put His own raiment on Him and led Him away to crucify Him. So in short, that is what took place and happened that Friday, which brings us to our text. And we can see that Pontius Pilate, may it never happen to any of us that we would do that which is right, and that we would fear man more than we would fear God. Pontius Pilate feared the multitude, the people. He was afraid that they would be angry with him. But who do we want to try to please? I'm sure even you Sunday schoolers, you little boys and you little girls, we want to be obedient to the teaching of God. And there at home, when your mothers and fathers, when your older siblings are teaching you, they are trying to teach you what is right. It doesn't always feel good when you are instructed to do something. But they are attempting to teach you that what's right and what is necessary. And they also want to protect you, little children, from dangers. But may it always be that we would always fear God before we fear man. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. This account that we read is written by John. And John was He was there when Jesus was crucified. He was, you could say, an eyewitness to the events that took place. When He was humiliated, when they inflicted pain on Jesus, and when He hung there on the cross, and at the time of death, John was there. He witnessed these things. This crucifixion, if I remember right, it was a Roman procedure to those who have done very, very serious crimes. And it also, they attempted to use it as a deterrent to those that saw the crucifixion when it was taking place. And when they saw that a person was hanging from the cross, that they would be too afraid to attempt to do something likewise or break the law in a serious way. Jesus suffered greatly. This was, no question, a great trial. And in no way am I going to insinuate that our trials that we have in our lives would be likened what took place that Friday. But a child of God is not exempt from trials. We have trials in our lives as much as everyone else. And if we were to ask, I'm sure every one of us would say that we have some type of cross that we carry. It may be health-related things. It might be mental things. Whatever it is, we all have our cross to carry. But no cross, take comfort in this, that as difficult as it may seem to sometimes understand, especially when something really serious has taken place, it's difficult to understand that God will not give you more than you can handle. When we are faced with a serious dilemma, we may wonder that how am I going to endure this? How am I going to last until the end of the day when this has taken place? How am I going to last the next 10 minutes? Whatever the time frame is, we do doubt that we will endure those things. But dear travel friend, as you look back, not being able to explain exactly how, what all took place in order for you to be here today, and we are able to look back to those things those events that took place, you did endure, and you are here. We don't know how much we can be up against until it has taken place. But we do know this, that they have been times when many hands have been folded together in prayer unto God, that give me enough strength to last even one more moment. And God has remembered you. He has remembered all of us. But also take comfort in this, that we did not have to carry the sin burden of all sins that have been committed and will be committed of everyone in the world. The Son of God endured and carried such a weight on His shoulder when He carried the sins of the world unto His death. Where they crucified Him and two other with Him on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. When we think of this picture, everyone can point when we see three crosses that where did Jesus die? We would all point to the middle cross and the two on either side. They were great sinners, and Jesus was there, right in between them. We remember from scriptures how Jesus was accused by the Pharisees when He was eating with sinners. Jesus spent a great deal of His ministry with sinners, with those who were sick, those who were weak, and with little children. Jesus spent most of His public ministry with people that are in great need of Him. And He did this all the way to the very end of His life, when He was nailed to the cross on Golgotha. He was there right in between two sinners. It is no wonder that Jesus is in our midst here today. So I'm sure that all of us that are here, we would say that we are great, great sinners. There is no better place for Jesus to be in than in our midst, because we certainly need Him. When Jesus was born, He was born in a very lowly way. He spent His time with people that needed Him. when he rode into Jerusalem, he came in a very, very lowly way. In every way that we think of the Son of God, it seems to us that he was very, very approachable. People that were weak and sick, they were not intimidated by the nature of God. Jesus was God in the second person. That is God's nature, to call the weak and sinners to gather around him. The nature of God is portrayed and is in such a way, and for that reason, that even us that live today, that we would be able to reach him. We don't have to, and we cannot, build our own blocks to climb up to him. But he will come down to our level that we can personally reach him. Even the most timid and weak person can reach Jesus. And that is the nature of God. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. It may seem that there is not much of a difference in these two sentences, but the chief priest claimed, and many others claimed, that Jesus was, or they accused him of blasphemy, that he has taken the place of God when he was God. So Jesus said that he is the Son of God. And the chief priest, of course, disagreed with this. But Pontius Pilate wrote that his accusation, which was typically written at the very top of the cross for the crime that they had committed, that his crime was that he was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And this chief high priest wanted Pontius Pilate to change that wording, that write instead that he said that he is the King of the Jews. And we know that one way or another, the difference is none. He said that he was the King of the Jews because he was. But these priests, they said that Jesus pretends to be the King of the Jews. (Clears throat) So then when they had, the soldiers took the garments of Jesus and made it into four parts to every soldier apart, and also his coat, and the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. And while they were doing this, casting lots for the garments of Christ, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. The mother of Jesus was also witnessing this very event when Jesus carried the cross from the place where he was wrongfully sentenced to death all the way up to Golgotha. And there is a portion in Luke, if you remember, it could not have been easy for Mary to witness this event. It must have pained her more than she would be able to describe with words. Her own son was being put to death in a very painful way. And I am thinking that as she is watching this take place, that part of her also died. Shortly after Jesus was born, 8 days after, he was brought to the temple as it was custom to the law. And when Joseph and Mary brought baby Jesus to the temple, there was one man in the temple that had been waiting for Jesus. I would like to say that he had been waiting for him all his life. And here, Jesus is brought to the temple. And this man, whose name was Simeon, God had told him that he will not die until he has seen the Son of God. And when Joseph and Mary came with a baby that looked like any other baby, the Spirit of God revealed unto him that this is the one that you have been waiting for. So Simeon took this baby in his arms and he blessed God and he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people, Israel. And the parents of Jesus, Joseph and the mother of Jesus, they marveled at the things that Simeon said. And Simeon blessed them. I'm sure that they also doubted that, is this really the Son of God? Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. And then, right after this, Simeon told her something that she could not understand, but something that was true, that she would experience later on in life. And that was that Friday when Jesus was put to death. Simeon said to Mary, A sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. I think that at this time, when she was witnessing the crucifixion of the Son of God, part of her died also, because he was very special to her. Of course, he had been comforting her to this point. And many of you who have lost someone who has comforted you in your life, that person has been taken away. And we wonder who would fill that void, who will now help us. But God remembers. He remembers you. He remembers all of us. And He sends help when help is needed. Jesus' disciples experienced this after Jesus died. When they were walking home after Jesus has died, those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, talking about the happenings that had taken place that Friday, afraid, wondering, how will it be with us now? God didn't forget them either. But Jesus appeared unto them personally, strengthened them and encouraged them. And then later they realized that this is the same Jesus that was with us before. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Jesus saw when his mother was standing there at the bottom of the cross, and he knew that she was greatly worried. She was in pain. She was in grief because of what happened. Jesus also saw another believing man there, and that was the author. He saw John. And God is an all-knowing God. He knows all our thoughts. And he knew that his mother will need help along the way. But also he knew that John also needed help in his life of faith. And nothing is more important to God than that believers would help one another to heaven. So he guided and directed his mother into a believing home where they could share the sorrows and joys together, and where they could preach the gospel to one another so that they would endure in the world. And imagine, dear brother and dear sister, the situation that Jesus was in. He was in great pain. But yet, the nature of God is such that God always remembers one who is in distress. And I believe it is in the Gospel of Luke when they record the same event, this Good Friday event, that even when right before Jesus died, when they were mocking and ridiculing him as he was there on the cross, he yet prayed unto the Heavenly Father that do not count this as sin to them, for they do not know what they do. The Spirit of God prays on our behalf all the time, constantly, because it belongs to God. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it on hyssop, upon hyssop, and put it into his mouth. And therefore Jesus, after he had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And then he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. The Scriptures say that at that time, the earth, it experienced an earthquake, and that rocks were split in half. And as we heard through our dear brother yesterday, that many of the saints were raised from the dead, and they walked all the way back to Jerusalem, and they were noted by those who knew them. The temple curtain also was torn in half. And Jesus said, it is finished. This phrase that is written here, it is finished, that does not mean that the powers that Jesus had fought against throughout his lifetime, the enemy of souls, it does not mean that the enemy of souls won, that I give up, you win. But it means that everything that the Son of God was set to do when he was here, when he walked the same earth that we walk today. He fulfilled the law to the last letter. Salvation was now prepared fully, and the doors of heaven wide open to those former believers of the Old Testament time. Those believers of Jesus' time and us that are here today. And the Bible also records this event, and I thought it's few verses, but I thought I would read this from the prophet Isaiah. The very same event that we read about tonight. And remember, this is written long, long before the New Testament time. Prophet Isaiah speaks of the King of Kings who is to come, that he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. This is in chapter 53 of Isaiah. That he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. Neither was any deceit in his mouth. And he hath poured out his soul unto death. The body of Jesus felt all the pain that we would feel. He was 100% man and 100% God. He was not accustomed to what he went through on Good Friday when he was crucified. Every step to the cross reminded him of the hits, the stripes, the lashings, and the crown that was put on his head with sharp pegs. Every step he was reminded time and time again of the pain. But yet, as we just read, he went through all this silently, quietly. And that afternoon, on Good Friday, God poured out full judgment of sin upon His Son because of our sinful nature. And this is why in my simple mind, why it is called Good Friday. It was God's plan to save us from the torment of hell because we are all bent toward evil and sin. Without the shedding of blood that took place on Good Friday, we would be dead in our sins. We would not have hope to reach heaven's glory ever. And the blood that was shedded, drop by drop, slowly His life left Him to save us. Is our God a God of grace? Has God showed grace and mercy unto us that are here this evening? Has He remembered you? We can and we must say that God certainly humbled Himself to come in such a lowly way and lowly form onto this earth. But He did it so that we can one time when we leave this time. And those that have gone before us, those who have endeavored to believe, they will once be awakened and raised up and brought to heaven. Because Jesus paid the price of all sin that anyone can commit, it does not mean that we are now free to sin. Why? We have all been given the Holy Spirit, who is a teacher in our hearts, that reminds us of unforgiven sin. And when we have done sin, it is there, and the Spirit of God will not cease to remind you that you need to put this sin away, and then you can be free once again. To put that sin away, the Spirit of God instructs us to reject sin. But we that are here this evening, and you that are maybe listening to this sermon online, we must all say that sin has certainly attached to us. We are like a magnet to sin. We are so prone to sin, not only in our doing and in our speech, but even in our thoughts, in our minds. Jesus died for you. Uplift your heart this evening, dear brother and dear sister. All your sins are forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name and blood, all your sins are forgiven and remembered no more. The promise of heaven is wide open to us when we believe in this way. And I want to ask for myself also, that can I have my many sins and doubts forgiven? In Jesus' name, Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have been able to be before your holy word for this moment, we thank thee for what you have given unto us this evening. This day especially, we wish to thank you for thy beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was crucified because of our sins. We wish to lift our humble thanks unto thee. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.